Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new episode of Gaming Uncensored, and I'm actually prepared for this show. And of course, Tommy's sitting over there. What's up, man?
Not much, man. We got a good show. We've got some news to talk about. I don't know if good is that. We're gonna have fun talking. It's not very fun news. There's a lot of news.
It's super fun.
It's new ads and games. We'll talk about that a little bit. Ubisoft maybe getting bought out by who knows who, plus making new games. We'll talk about. Trying to think that some game announcements that are interesting. That'll be fun. Some game delays and whatever. And here's a tease. We'll see if we get to it. Jason Momoa in negotiations to star in a video game movie. What video game movie, you ask? You will have to wait to find out.
Well, you know what's funny about that is I'm not sure this is how old I am. I'm getting older by the day. This is how old I am. I'm not real sure that I know who Jason Momoa is.
You definitely do.
Yeah.
Because he's Aquaman.
Right, that's what I thought.
But
that
two, he's
news.
What's his name in Game of Thrones? Like, that's who right. he is, right?
Yeah.
The Dothraki dude.
Yes.
What's his name? Oh my God, I can't remember what his name
is.
But that's
Drogo.
Yes.
Drogo.
That's that's Jason Momoa. So yes, we are old. I do that all the time. That like there's like a news headline that's like so and so and blah 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 with so and so. I'm like I don't have a clue who any of these people are. Like man, I'm so disconnected from pop culture because we're old. We are to that point in life, you know. Like I look at this stuff that like my students consume, and I'm like, man, that's just trash. That's just up. And I'm like. Yep, old man. We've officially arrived. That's all it is old man talk at this point.
Okay, so I've been working with a marketing lady who is actually getting a degree in marketing. She's almost done with her undergrad degree in marketing. She's been working with me on some stuff and has been doing stuff on TikTok, which I know nothing about.
Yep.
But all of it that I see, even that she makes, like, it doesn't have her voice on it. It's just a robotic voice. And I look at it and I'm like, man, that's really bad. But like 1,000 people watch it. Like, I don't understand. I don't get it. Do we just need to start doing this show on a cell phone with like no mics or anything? Is that what we got to do to get people to pay attention?
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, TikTok is one of those things that just, I'm so behind on social media. Like I've never done Instagram. That's not my thing. I've never done TikTok. I do Facebook because of family, right? Like that's really the only reason to do Facebook at this point. And I do Twitter primarily because of the show.
Right.
And then I use Twitter as a news feed. Like that's what my personal Twitter account I've never tweeted from. I have no interest in tweet. Like I'm not looking for any kind of social interaction on Twitter. It's just a news feed. I just follow, you know, a bunch of journalists and that kind of stuff and I use it for news and that's really it.
I feel Trumpian because the thing that's fun to me about Twitter is you can just say stuff,
right?
And like, you know, people react to it. You just say stuff, and that works really well for Jamie Jordan. I just kind of say stuff, and sometimes stuff happens, and then sometimes it doesn't. And that's the great fun about Twitter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure. Right there with you. We're old.
We're just old men at this point.
And that's what it is. Can I say, I don't know what you did different with the beard, but the beard is looking righteous today.
It is just overgrown at this point. It's just been a long time since I've had a trim. And so it's just been like getting bigger and bigger this way. Like it kind of hits the length. Like it doesn't really get a whole lot longer. So if I let it go, instead of getting longer, it just grows out.
Right.
And so now it's just kind of taking over my face.
Yeah. It works. I like it.
I mean, it is what it is at this point.
The great thing about doing this show from our new headquarters, which it's looking more and more like our new headquarters every day. I got a fancy sound bar installed on the TV today. That's fantastic. Nice. The guy that installed it is a friend of mine. And he's looking around and he's like, it's a really nice sound bar. What did you pay for this? And I told him and he went, really? So we're slowly getting stuff done, but the great thing about doing the show from here is that we can actually see each other.
Yeah. Like, it's pretty wonderful, isn't it?
It's a wild, wild world that we live in. Yeah. And like, cause when we do it from my parents' house, we can't see you can see us.
Right.
Which I think that's the way that live TV works. I think that's the way that PTI works. It's like they can't see each other.
They're just looking into a camera.
They're talking. So
it is nice to not have like jittery screens and all that fun stuff.
So, but we do have gaming news. We should get to that because we do have some interesting stuff.
We do.
Including the hardware, which we have to get to the hardware because I'm pumped about the hardware because we actually have a screen that will use what we're going to talk about, which is going to be fun.
It is a nice thing. Before we get into that, of course, big thanks to the Patreon guys. Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, Sam, Andrew, and Leek. Thank you all for your support. We have still been playing lots of games because of you guys, and we appreciate that. And we're also here doing a show because of you guys. So thank you again for your support. It means the world to us. If you'd like to support us on Patreon, go by GamingUncensored.com. Click that Become a Patron link there at the top of the page. And you too can help us play games and then subsequently talk about them randomly. So please do that. And to mention, you can see us. You can see the video recording of this podcast if you so choose. Want to see our beautiful shiny faces or whatever.
We don't know why you would.
We don't, but it's an option for you. So that's on the Patreon. Plus some content every once in a while. It's been a while since we've had other content. But E4 is coming. We are just a couple months out from fun stuff happening. So you're going to get more.
It better be coming because I've spent a lot of money. And so if it's not coming, I need to talk to somebody about a reimbursement because I've spent a lot of money over here setting up for E4.
It
sounds like a stupid little thing because I really am a squatter in my own house at this point. but we have a fridge and I got to tell you the story real quick. Walked in this morning and there was no water. And I'm like, that's weird because my family owns the house. Somebody's paying the bill, right? Well, turns out nobody's paying the bill. So guess what I got to do? I got my name on water, power, and gas. So now I'm officially paying the bill, and I'm like, okay, I'm spending a lot of money, and we're not having a lot of fun yet. So I haven't said this to Tommy yet, but But E4 is happening. That's a thing that's going to happen because I'm spending a whole lot of money here and I have not had a lot of fun yet. So yeah. I'm just
congratulations on being an adult. That's pretty good.
I have paid bills before. These are not my first bills. But it's a little different when they're in your name. Like, you know.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the front yard going, okay, I got to get somebody to mow that because I ain't mowing that. It's those little things that it's like you don't deal with when you're a kid in an apartment. Yep. That's what I was talking to the guy about that was setting up the sound bar. He's like, this place is awesome. I'm like, yeah, it's real awesome until you understand that I got to get somebody to mow the freaking yard because I'm crippled.
Yeah. I've got working legs. I still got to figure out somebody to mow the yard. Our yard's getting ready. Joys of a home. So, that cracks me up. By the way, I have to mention, just because we're talking about how old you are, you did have a birthday since last week.
I did, yes.
So very happy belated birthday. You did get a video from my daughter. So
I did. And she totally sold the show.
Yes.
I don't know if you saw the repost that I did on Facebook there.
Yeah.
But she totally sold the show from everybody, which is the way that I want it.
Yes.
So
that's when all is well and good in the world. So. Yes. So all that said, we should talk about some games really quick before we get into the news. We have been playing some. The Horizon has slowed down just because of the nature of the time of year.
I'm glad because I'm caught up.
Right. Which is a good thing. So now we're on the same page there. But before we talk a little bit about Horizon, because I imagine we'll want to talk a little bit about Horizon, I have been playing something else on the side because it's available and is a little easier to do without having to commit to it, which is MLB The Show 2022, which is on Game Pass and is streamable. And so I have been playing a Sony Interactive game on Microsoft's platform via streaming for the past 2 weeks and totally digging it. Like, it's worked almost flawlessly, which is pretty wild. So been enjoying some baseball. It is baseball time, and so being able to play a baseball game is pretty fun. But it is a remarkable feat that a game that is by definition twitchy, right? Like, playing a baseball game, you are trying to hit a ball that is virtually, you know, flying at you at 100 miles per hour. And so reflexes are really, really critical there. And it works on streaming on a cloud game. And now part of that is just kind of adapting to what the latency is. But I tried playing MLB 21 on Xbox cloud services. And at that point, it was in browser and not in the Xbox app, which the Xbox app does a way better job than the browser does of streaming the games. But it was almost unplayable. Like, I just couldn't do it. I didn't put any time into it. And so this one, I was like, okay, I'm going to try it, but expecting it would be a total bust. It is not. It is working really well. I created my player. I've made it to the major leagues. I'm hitting 400. And so obviously it's not too bad.
Ten wins over here.
Right. It is. I mean, I'm not playing it on a super high difficulty mostly because I suck, but in part because it is streaming. And so that gives me a rationale to not play it at a really high, but I have it on the dynamic difficulty setting. So it scales with you. And so the fact that I'm still doing pretty well on a streaming game that is twitchy, that has scalable difficulty, is a testament to the service, a testament to the technology at this point. Like, it's a weird thing to play a Sony game on a Microsoft platform on a streaming service and be thoroughly enjoying it by the way, an Xbox 360 controller. So I'm playing with a controller that's 15 years old or whatever. It's still brilliant. So,
on that, I was totally paying attention to you. I don't know if you saw what happened there.
I did.
But I have this alarm system that tells me when one of my doors are open So I hear front door, and I'm like, crap, the front door popped open. Am I going to have to stop and go close? Because I live in the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Somebody could just, like, walk in. But obviously, it was my dad. So, again, the fun part of living in a house where things just happen.
Yep.
So, but on that, I have to mention, the next thing to add to my little environment here is some sort of a desktop computer. I have not moved my gaming computer from my parents' house because, A, I don't have a desk. This table that I'm currently sitting on is like a rolling, you know,
right,
movable thing. And you can't put a desktop with a monitor and all that on one of those. Yep. So I haven't done that yet. And I'm waiting to get my thought is that I'm going to get a new Mac and hook it up to the fast internet and do a lot of GeForce Now to start off. Because it's funny, I've been paying for this internet for a couple of months, and I feel like such a loser because I've been paying for this internet for a couple of months. I've not done a single thing on this internet that I've dreamed my entire life that I would do if I had really fast internet.
Right.
You know, like, I don't have the big computer over there, and I haven't streamed games, and I haven't, like, all the streaming services work, but they work on, like, no internet, right? So yeah. I have this gigabit internet, but I haven't really done anything where I can look at it and go, yep, that's awesome. This show is pretty much it. So, again, that's another reason that I need you to be here so we can do some fun stuff with the fancy internet. Because I'm looking around going, I've wanted this my whole life and I haven't done anything with it yet.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's fair. And it's just one of those things. you're like, yay, super fast internet. And then like 95% of what you do on the internet doesn't care. But it is when you get to that 5% that you're like, oh, right, this is awesome.
Yes, it does matter on this, I will say.
It does. It makes all the difference in the world to be able to do this with seeing each other clearly. Again, not super jittery. Like, I never watched you before, and I'm sure you're the same way. This is worthless. It's just looking at a picture of you for the most part. But now we can actually see each other moving in real time, and it's great.
Yeah.
So anyway, MLB on the cloud works great, which... If you have fast internet, I'd be interested if you don't have as fast of internet. But if you have fast internet, works great. And then Horizon's still great. I don't know that I have anything really new to add to it. I want to say one thing on Horizon. Our boy Cabbage posted something about Horizon that I thought was really great on Twitter that he said something to the extent of, I'm paraphrasing here, but something to the extent of, Horizon keeps trying to tell me a story and all I want to do is go kill dinosaurs. And that really, like, I kind of feel the same way about Horizon. That's not a knock on the story of Horizon, but it just, like, it's fine. And I'm, you know, somewhat interested. And when story beats pop up, I'm like, oh, okay, I see where we're going here. But it's definitely not what I care about, right? Like, that's not, like, so many times I'm like, okay, I'm going to do, like, the main quest line. I got to progress on the main quest line, and I do, like, half a quest, and then there's, like, three side quests that pop up, and I'm like, ooh, let's go do those, you know? And it's just, like, there's just not enough in the main quest to, like, suck me in to the point that I'm like, I've got to see this through.
Well,
but that's not making me enjoy the game any less, right? Like, it's still just so much fun going around and killing dinosaurs. Like, it's such fun gameplay that the story's fine. It's not bad. It's not great. It's fine. And I'm perfectly okay with that.
We talked about it last show. Part of the reason for that is it's basically the same story from the last game continued. That's basically what it is. And the Horizon fanboys can yell at me if you want to, but that's basically what it is. There's not much new there, and there are the way the game is set up, because I saw this happen we have discussed at great lengths on this show that you like killing bandits, which I think is really funny because yes. you're a pacifist.
Yes.
But you like killing bandits. And you cleared out this one bandit camp where she said the same line like 8 times. And like just 8 times. And I guess it was because you kept running over that the wire that tripped it.
Yeah.
But I should check this out. I don't even know what the line was.
I know what you're talking about because it was like, it was something about, you know, how you kind of finish up the quest or, you know, the taking over the camp or whatever. And I'm like, I'm going to get there in my time. Like, yeah. I know, but let me go right. like loot stuff and let me go like explore, like whatever it was. But yeah.
And the it other
has a real
thing,
bad habit of that.
The other thing was that you were doing a section with the shaman lady. And like you're like killing people. You're up on a platform just like smacking people in the head.
Yeah.
And she's like, "Come on, Aloy, back to the task." And I'm like, "Shut up, lady!
What
do you
think I'm doing
here? Killing people here." Yeah. And then so that's the issue with the story. Like the story's probably pretty good. The game is just really immersion breaking.
It is, like, yes. It has it those moments is. For sure.
And,
yeah.
and like the and the characters aren't really that interesting. The what was the guy? He's my favorite character so far, and I made a note and now I can't remember his name. But the guy that you had to go up on the mountain for that was the brother of the girl that's like he's got no skills, and you got to help him out. Like, I can't remember that guy's name, but he is by far my favorite NPC. It's not close.
Yeah, it was entertaining.
That was so well done. I thoroughly enjoyed it, but the rest of it's just sort of there.
Yeah, it has moments of brilliance as far as narrative goes, and the rest of it's fine. Again, it's not bad. It's just not great. And it doesn't need to be like it just like that's not what the game is. It's fine. You know, go ahead.
I was just going to say one thing before we move on, because we need to move on because we spent entirely too much of the last 3 shows talking yes. about this game. But I mentioned the audio at least a couple of times. I got to tell you, the more I listen to it, it is the most satisfying thing that I've ever heard
yeah.
because when you hit somebody, especially with a headshot, it's like Phil Mickelson on a driving range. Like, it's the most awesome sound ever.
It is.
And it
wonderful.
Never gets old.
It really
ever.
Does. Yeah. I was, I'm trying to remember if this was last night or a couple of nights ago, whenever it was. I had a drink before playing while playing, and I was really tired, and I was just awful, and I couldn't figure out what it was. I was there was one character that like was missing their head. It's the first like real obvious bug that I've seen in the game
right.
that there was a headless character, and so I'm like, I can't line up a headshot on this dude because I was pretty far away, and I'm like, where in the world is his head? And finally, I was looking, I was like, dude doesn't have a head. Like, there's just no head there. Like, there's just a hole, like, in his armor where his neck should be, you know. But it was when I was playing that, which I'm pretty sure happened. Like I said, I had a drink, and so not that many drinks, so whatever. But I just couldn't hit a headshot to save my life. And so I want to blame it on the fact that the game was glitching, but I doubt that was it. But all that to say that I was so disappointed because I just live for that sound that you get, you know, and like every time I release an error, I'm just waiting for it. And I'm like 3 in a row that it didn't happen. I'm like, what is going on here? Like, are my headphones messed up? Surely I've hit one of these dudes, you know, like just, yeah. It is such a wonderful bit of feedback. And the audio just across the board is really great. It excels at that. One of the best games audio wise I've ever played. Just phenomenal.
Like, we have to, the soundbar is installed and it's ready to go, but it obviously needs some tweaking.
Sure.
It obviously needs some, you know, you got to work on the audio to get that sweet spot. It ain't there yet.
Yeah.
And it's not going to get there until we plug a game into it or watch a movie, which I hope that the new Batman is still on HBO Max when you get here, because we need to see that and we need to see Uncharted.
Yes.
And that needs to happen while you're here, because well, one of those movies is going to be good. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's the thing. I'm so excited about the 5.1 sound that we have set up here for a game specifically like this.
Yeah.
Both games, it's not going to matter, but that one, it does.
Yep, for sure.
So
all that said, let's get to the news so we can talk through some of this fun stuff to talk about. It'll be a fun conversation, even if it's not fun. It's a little dystopian look at the future. We'll start with news this week from both Sony and Microsoft. And so if you are a fanboy of one or the other, we're going to dog on you both at this point. Both Sony and Microsoft are looking at how they can implement more advertising into their games, specifically with free-to-play titles, is kind of what the news of this is about. So obviously, if it's a free-to-play title, you're not making money off of the game sales. And that's where microtransactions have been a big, big part of the free-to-play world for a long time, a way to monetize that. And so the potential positive here is it might get a way to get away from some microtransactions. But the obvious downside is we're going to get into a world where there's more ads. Like, let's not pretend there aren't already ads in games. Like, you're going to find them all over the place, and look specifically, sometimes you'll find them very obviously. But there's going to be more. There's going to be significantly more going forward. And that in and of itself shouldn't be a surprise at all. Because we are into the era of both. This is games. This is also true of television and movie streaming. This has been true of music streaming for quite a while now. Of unit sales are not a way to monetize anymore. With games, they still are, but that's becoming a smaller part of the pie, and will soon be a pretty small part of the pie. It is already almost non-existent in the music world. It is becoming less and less of a thing in the film and TV world. And games are on that trajectory. They've been farther behind, and mostly because they're technologically more difficult to get to that point. But we are getting to that point. I just talked about how I've been streaming MLB The Show, and it's worked great. That's not a free-to-play title, but that is a streaming title that is on a service that is a subscription-based service. I did not pay anything for that game specifically out of pocket. And that's going to be more and more the world that we're looking at. So the way that developers are going to monetize games is more advertising.
Which, like you said, it's everywhere. And I want to talk about a specific example of where it is. It's going to make you cringe, because I can't believe I'm going to admit it on this show. But I think I told you several months ago that I had Spotify Premium 3 months for 99 cents or something crazy like that. And then I canceled it. I thought, I'm going to get really annoyed at this. I'm going to get tired of the ads. I'm going to get frustrated. I'm not going to be able to listen to music I want to. And I'm going to end up going back to $10 a month. But I'm trying to cut corners wherever I can, because I'm paying for, you know, other stuff.
Sure.
At this point. And I was thinking about it yesterday, especially in browsers that support that we advertised on the last show, I barely notice the ads. Like, I can still listen to the music that I want to, and you're like, yeah, but you don't get unlimited skips or whatever. It doesn't really matter that much. And for somebody that uses Spotify as much as we do, I hate to even say that, because that's a no-brainer of a service to pay for. But even the ad-supported version of Spotify, I can deal with, and I don't feel like I need to pay $10 a month.
Yeah.
And because 90% of what I do is on a desktop. If I were on my phone like you are, it'd be a whole different deal. But 90% of what I listen to is on the desktop. And I hate to say that, like, as an audio person, as a person who supports the music industry, I hate to even admit that, but Spotify with ads is not that bad.
Yeah, and that's, I think that's the thing, and that's kind of what I feel about this too, is it obnoxious? Do I want tons of ads in my video games? Respectively, yes, it is obnoxious. No, I don't want tons of ads in my video games. But the truth is we're just inundated with them all the time anyway on whatever you're doing. If you're scrolling through Twitter or Facebook, you're getting promoted things all the time. If you're, you know, like, and almost never am I like, this is so obnoxious that this ad popped up right here. I'm just like, okay, move on. You know, like YouTube has, you know, I don't pay for YouTube Premium. I use YouTube all the time.
I see
ads on YouTube constantly. Whatever, 10 seconds and skip or 5 seconds and skip, and I move on with my life, you know? And do I want that 10 seconds back? Maybe, whatever. But like, I'm always multitasking anyway. And so half the time I've already let the ad play all the way through before I even noticed it was playing because I was doing something else, waiting for it to get to the point that I could skip it or whatever, you know, like, it's just a part of life in 2022 that we're inundated with advertising, and the idea that games would be any different is a little bit naive that we've been fortunate up until this point that it's not been worse. And again, like, let's not pretend like they don't exist. Go play a sports game specifically. You're going to find that advertising in there. There's going to be promoted content in whatever games you're playing. They're already monetizing games in this way. The one thing that I know is going to happen, and it's the one thing that's just going to, this is going to drive me nuts, is that we now, with the current generation of consoles, with the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox Series X, S, don't have long loading times. Horizon is wonderful about this. It's the first game that I've really felt the fact that there's just so little loading time. And one of the things about, not to talk about Horizon a ton more, but one of the things I do in Horizon that I don't always do in open world games is I use fast travel a ton. Yep. Because it's almost instantaneous. I don't have to sit through a loading screen. And so even for like little things, like if I'm not having to go very far, once upon a time, I would just walk that, you know, and there's something to be said for that. Whatever, you get to see more of the world. But if it's a place I've already walked, I don't care to just rewalk it because I need to get over there to point B from point A, whatever it is. And so fast travel's almost instantaneous because there's almost no loading time. It pops up with the little screen, but almost immediately you can just press X to skip the screen. Like, it actually holds the screen for a little bit of time so you can read the hint, but you don't have to leave it there. You just hit X as soon as the little thing pops up and it takes a second or whatever. What I fear is going to happen now is that they're going to put ads there where there used to be loading screens. And so you don't technically need the loading screen anymore because technically the hardware doesn't need to load as fast enough to pretty much instantaneously get this. But like YouTube, you're going to have this little ad that pops up that says skip in 5 seconds that you've got to wait. And it's going to be just back to how we used to play games when we had the loading screens. Just now it's going to be ads instead of technical loading screens. And that part is going to drive me nuts.
Look, I guess we're the only two guys left that are picky about the ads that we have on this show and on the website. We have been told by one advertising guy in particular, and I've been told by a couple more, you guys realize you could make more money on this show if you just put ads on your website. And to this point, we have refused to do that because all of them, almost all of them, not all of them, but almost all of them that we have been pitched have been sleazy in some way.
Right?
Like,
yes,
there's been some
sure.
sort of, there's been some sort of sleaze with the ad that somebody wants to put on our website. And the ad guy looks at us and goes, but it's $600. And we're like, but it's sleazy.
Right.
And they look at us like we've got three heads. And I don't know at what point on this show we're going to get over that, but I'm still not over that because for some reason I care what you guys see. I know you don't care. Right. And our site would be just like anybody else's site, and you just click through it and whatever. And then Chad's probably screaming at the podcast right now, just take the money, you idiots. but like that's our logic.
Sure.
I still feel that way. I know you do too. And I guess we're just going to have to get over that because that's where the world is.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and again, it's, are they obnoxious? Sure. Are they everywhere? Yes. I just like, it's at this point, I don't understand. Like, I'm sure there's some, you know, obviously there's subconscious effectiveness to these things. People aren't paying a ton of money to keep advertising if it shows not to work. You know, obviously there's effectiveness to this. But like, I just, as much as it's annoying, I'm just having the hardest time getting overly worked up about this. Now, when it gets implemented, if it's awful or whatever, like, okay. But we've been, like, the kind of sci-fi dystopian hellscape of billboards and advertising everywhere that we've had, like, all of our lives that we've seen in media. Like, it kind of feels like it's happened and just nobody cares. You know, like, it's just, well, like, I mean, it is, well, what it is. And when, here, it's like, just move on.
I have a joke going with my family. It's not really a joke anymore, but there is no news anymore. I don't care what outlet you look at, whether it's CNN or MSNBC or Fox or whatever, there's no news anymore. I call it infotainment.
For sure.
Because every single one of them is selling you something, and it's not really about the news.
Oh, yeah.
Even my dad said the other day, he's like, I can't even watch local news anymore because it's not local. It's all
right.
There's no local news anymore. And as a person who, and I know you're the same way, for some reason, for our whole lives, both of us have really appreciated news. Kind of like in the Murrow sense of the word, kind of a thing, like, you know, like a real legit newsman's kind of cool thing, and that doesn't exist anymore. And if there's something that really bothers me, it's that there's no news anymore. Everything is being sold.
Yeah, yeah.
Even the news,
for sure. And I think that's a worthy comparison insofar as, like, what should be for sale and where we should have some things that shouldn't be. Video game content? Like,
sure.
Sell it. Yeah. You know, like, whatever. Like, are you going to put ads in my games? Am I going to be mad about it? Maybe so, but whatever. It's entertainment. Like, it's straight entertainment. Like, it can be both artistic and entertainment. It's entertainment. I work in the music industry. I'm not pretending that the music industry is anything other than being for entertainment. That's what it is. And that's okay. Like, embrace it and make that a thing. And advertising makes a ton of sense in that world. Whenever this was this, like, real famous example of this a few months ago when the war in Ukraine started, whenever you're CNN and you've got, like, breaking news from Ukraine of bombs being dropped and you're doing, like, the split screen thing where you have, like, big explosions happening over here, and then on the other side you have an Applebee's commercial with, like, country music and this dude shaking his whatever, and, like, just, like, that's the point that you go, maybe we shouldn't have ads right now. And is that gonna affect our bottom line? Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
but this is a really awful side by side. Like, we are failing our consumer right now when you have an Applebee's commercial on the same screen. Like, literally, like, they're gonna keep the Ukraine, like, you know, wide shot up there because they think it's so important that you don't even break away for an ad, but they're still gonna run the ad. Like, that's the point. That, like, ask yourself some questions there. Like, you're failing then. like that shouldn't be. And obviously CNN is a for-profit venture that they exist to sell ads. And that's a problem in and of itself. And just like you said, MSNBC, Fox News, whatever commercial outlet you want, they're no different. They're all first and foremost there to make a profit. And if they can share some news, you know, maybe that's okay. But that's a world where we should go, hey, as consumers, it'd be really nice if we had a different option that wasn't like doing this.
Right.
But that's not video games. Video games isn't that world. Like, whatever. If you got an Applebee's ad in the middle of Halo, like, I'm going to be annoyed by it. But, like, okay, whatever. Like, yeah. I don't have any right to not have an Applebee's commercial in the middle of playing Halo. Like, I could go play a different game or whatever. We can, as consumers, make our voice heard if it annoys us enough. I'm guessing it's not going to annoy anybody enough because everybody's so used to it already, as we've said. So.
Yep.
Whatever, we're going to have ads in games. More ads. Again, we already have tons of them. A couple of things on Sony specifically here. So we know about the new PlayStation Plus thing coming. The revamp of PlayStation Plus is coming. One of the things that they talked about in that was that there was going to be game trials included. Demos, for lack of a better word, but different than maybe I think what we grew up with as demos. And that's now taking some shape. There's this rumor out right now that Sony is telling developers that if your game costs more than $35, and so that's an interesting delineating point of kind of, you know, like big titles versus indie titles, that $35 or whatever. But if your game costs more than $35, if you're going to sell it for more than $35, that you are required to have a 2-hour game trial that will be available for PlayStation Plus subscribers that are on the tier that get the game trial. So basically any big title that's coming out, anything that's going to cost more than $35 on the PlayStation, if you pay for PlayStation Plus at that level, you will have that 2-hour access that I would imagine, can't guarantee this, but I would imagine it would be much in the vein that we've seen a lot of kind of more modern demos, that you just get to play the game. Right. For 2 hours, you get to save your progress. And then if you want to keep paying, it's going to pop up a little thing that says buy full game. And then you buy it and you keep on going. And so,
and I hate to point this out, but like EA has been doing this forever. And the reason that I'm going to bring this up specifically, we ain't talking about 2 hours. We're talking about 10 hours.
Yeah.
And the last game that I did this with was Mass Effect Andromeda. And I really felt like I really felt like that was a big deal. Like, yeah. It's a pain in the ass for developers. I understand that, but it's as far as what a gamer gets, I think it's a big deal. And when I saw this, the first thought that I had was, okay, cool. 2 hours is not enough because I'm already used to getting 10.
Yeah, that's fair enough. But to that point, I think there's a good point there that it is a little bit burdensome for developers. And I can't speak to how much it is burdensome. I don't feel like it's overly outside the realm of possibility, you know, or outside of the realm of expectations of what a developer should do to release their game on this platform, whatever. But it is where I like that delineating line. Now, $35 is kind of an arbitrary number. I'm sure they put thought into that for whatever reason. But essentially, it's saying if you're releasing a game that you're going to charge more than $35 to the consumer for, you probably have the resources to implement this feature. That's just kind of an assumption there. And what's nice is that it's not going to put that burden on indie developers, that this could be something that would really prevent them from publishing on this platform. And so I like that kind of delineator there, that they've got a way to that. For the consumer, I don't see what the downside is, right? Like, you get to try a game. You get to try essentially any game. And honestly, like, there's some games like EA titles or UB titles or, you know, whatever, especially something like a Call of Duty or whatever, that for like the purposes of this show, I'd love to play 2 hours of. And never buy it, you know, and that's obviously not what they want from us. But the idea that I could play 2 hours of a game with no commitment to it, and then, like, if it's actually really good, go, hey, you got me. I'll pay for this. And if you didn't get me, you weren't going to get me before. Like, that's the thing. Right. Is I'm not going to buy a game that I wouldn't have bought without this, you know, like you're the games that I buy are games that I know are going to be good. I don't buy games on a whim at this point in my life because I don't have enough time to do that, right? Like, right. I'm going to buy games that I know I'm going to enjoy. Am I going to miss every once in a while? Yeah, but I can't think of the last time that I bought a game that was like, okay, yep, bought this, but I don't like it. I'm not playing it anymore. Like, it just doesn't happen. But what could happen that I don't get a lot of chance for is to try a game that I wouldn't buy and go, oh, wow, this is actually really good, and I do want to continue playing this. And so I just... like, from that standpoint, it makes all the sense in the world to me to make this a kind of standard feature. And it adds value to that PlayStation Plus membership. And I'm really excited about it because it's going to give me exposure to games I otherwise wouldn't play any of. Will I buy all of them? Certainly not. Will I buy most of them? Certainly not. But I'll get to try more than I try now. And I'll probably buy a couple more games than I would have bought otherwise.
Yeah, I don't think this is bad at all. But... then again, we're not developers.
Exactly.
And from a developer perspective, it's a whole different thing. And I understand that. Because if you have, let's take a 10-hour game, for example. If you have a 10-hour game and you got to give us as gamers 2 hours of that game, that doesn't help you.
Yeah.
I mean, still, 8 hours is a lot of game left to play, but it, like, that's a big chunk of your game.
Yeah, it is, but it, like, what does it matter, though, if you still have to buy the game to finish it, right? Like, right. To me, it's not those games that it's gonna be a problem for. For me, it's the games that, like, are one-offs that you play a match of multiplayer on something, you know, like where I'm thinking of a Call of Duty or a Battlefield or, you know, Madden or an NBA 2K or whatever it is that, like, I might want to just play a little bit of it just to play it, but, like, not invest in it, not going to play it long-term, but just might want to scratch that itch for a little bit. And that's where something like this for me will be beneficial without having to have any commitment to buy a game. You're not going to get any money from me, and that's where we're going to get ads in those games so that they're monetizing us that are going to pay the whatever the price is. But those are the ones that like I feel are more at risk of like a devaluation through this process. If your game's 10 hours long, if somebody wants to finish the game, they still got to pay for it. They don't get a right. discount because they played 2 hours of it. You know, like, you still get the money from them.
Right.
But if your game's only 2 hours long, hopefully you're not charging $35 or more for it, right? Like, that's the other thing. That's where that number again comes in handy, is you're assuming that anything that costs more than that is something that 2 hours isn't going to ruin that experience for you. Yeah. Like that you'll still have a lot of game left to play at this point. So yeah, from a consumer standpoint, no downside. From a developer standpoint, I'm interested to see if anybody's like, oh, now I'm not going to put my game out on PlayStation because of this. I highly doubt that.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Yep, for sure.
Because the part of this that we haven't talked about, and I just want to bring up for just a second, is the money aspect of it. And paying those people, specifically if it's a demo and not just... here's 2 hours to play of this game, like EA has been doing.
Right.
You have to divert. If you're somebody like 11-Bit Studios and you have a game and Sony says you have to build out this 2-hour demo and we're not going to help you with that, I can see the problem. Other than that, there's not a whole lot of problems here.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got to implement whatever their system is in order to do it. But if it's just you get to play 2 hours of the game and then it locks you out and pops up a thing that says buy now. Yeah, whatever. That seems pretty easy. One more quick thing here on Sony. Sony has put out an update to add variable refresh rate to the PlayStation 5, which is super cool. This gives you, as the name implies, variable refresh rate for monitors and TVs that are compatible with that, which should prevent a lot of graphic issues, stuttering issues, screen tearing, that kind of stuff that can happen without variable refresh rate, and should give you added smoothness. And so maybe feel like a frame rate boost as well. Again, it's hard to say that there's any downside to this. Just another big positive thing. It is specifically available on a bunch of titles that will support it directly. But even if the titles don't support it directly, supposedly you'll still see a little bit of benefit from every title that you play. Yeah, whatever. Interestingly, Horizon's not on the list of the titles that will get patched to receive that VRR support from the get-go. I don't know if it's already in there or whatever. I was surprised by that. But things like Spider-Man, Ratchet & Clank, Resident Evil Village, Destiny 2, Deathloop, a bunch of big titles on there will have patches to enable VRR support. Very cool thing if you've got the tech to support it, which is becoming more of a standard thing at this point.
Very quick thing on that, because I know we're closing in on a little girl and the show is going to be over. but I just had to mention that was something until I saw it, that when we played Ratchet and Clank on my parents' very nice TV, I thought it was already in there.
Yeah.
In the PlayStation hardware. To be totally honest with you, because it was so smooth, like it was so good, and I am excited for you to get here to help me calibrate this TV, because I've done a little bit with this TV, I've done a little tweaking, but I haven't done everything, and it looks good. It looks really good, but it doesn't look as good out of the box as my parents' TV.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious on some low, which I think it's funny that I'm thinking of the TV that I'm staring at as a lower-end TV, because I actually paid the same price for my parents' TV. We just got really lucky that it was a really nice TV.
Yeah.
And this one is almost on that level, but not quite. So we're going to have to do some tweaking and stuff. But I'm curious, once this gets rolled out, what we're going to be able to see. Because seriously, when we plugged in Ratchet and Clank, that was the smoothest experience I'd ever seen in my life.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
Sound and everything else. Yeah.
And to be frank, there's still nothing that's touched it. Horizon's great.
Yeah.
It's not like the seamless experience. It doesn't feel as next gen, which again, it shouldn't. It was developed for PlayStation 4 as well. It's not an exclusive to the next generation. But Ratchet and Clank to me still feels more quote unquote next gen, current gen, obviously now, but feels like one of the few games and really the only game that we've played that took advantage of the hardware in a significant way that you could feel. Horizon's beautiful and great, and it doesn't quite do that the way that Ratchet Clank did. It's hard to quantify exactly what that is, but there's something there that Ratchet and Clank did so well. And it's just ridiculous.
I can't quantify what that is, but I will tell you that when you get here, the first thing I'm going to have you do is plug in Ratchet and Clank on this TV, and we're going to use that to actually calibrate the TV.
Yeah.
Because we know what it's supposed to look like.
Exactly.
And the scary thing is that nobody ever touched my parents' TV. Like it out of the box. Nobody's ever done anything with it.
Yeah.
It's just a really good LG.
Yeah.
And so that will be the baseline that we will use on this TV sitting in the living room.
Yeah.
So
as it should be, because there's just, again, in my experience, nothing quite like it. Quickly, a couple of things on Ubisoft to discuss here. The big kind of news that's popped up in the last couple of weeks is that Ubisoft is at least interested in being bought out. It's interested in selling, which obviously opens the floodgates to who might come in.
Hello, Microsoft!
Buy out Ubisoft. Microsoft, not unrelatedly, I would imagine, has hired somebody recently as specifically like an acquisitions director or whatever it is. That said, it doesn't look likely that it would be Microsoft or Sony, though possible. It looks like it'd be likely that it'd be some other equity firm that would want to buy it out to leverage it and whatever, which is the most Ubisoft thing that could happen and would just make their games even worse. I would much rather Microsoft or Sony buy out Ubisoft than some private equity firm.
I have a good idea, and it'll never happen, but I'm almost tempted to send an email and just suggest this because it's not like they listen to us, but they might. This would be a good buy for somebody like Valve. And hear me out. Why? Imagine what would happen if Valve got Beyond Good and Evil.
Yeah.
Like, that's a Valve title.
That is a Valve title. Ubisoft should sell Beyond Good and Evil. Like, let's be, or, you know, at least farm that out or something. Because it is the least Ubisoft title I can think of at this point, right? Like, it just doesn't feel like a Ubisoft. Like, what Ubisoft does at this point is a very kind of specific game. Right. They do Far Cry. They do Assassin's Creed. They do like they have a formula that you either dig it or you don't dig it. Like it's we talk about Ubisoft all the time making solidly 80 games, you know, like they don't make games that score 90s. They don't make games that score 60s. I'm sure they make some games that score 60s, but they're like solidly 80 games. Like Assassin's Creed is solidly there in the middle. And I wish I had desire to play Valhalla. And it's apparently a good game, but not great. And there's a bunch of great games out there. And I just don't have time to put into 60 hours of Assassin's Creed Valhalla. That's good, but not great, you know, and that's what Ubisoft does. They need somebody that's going to say, hey, let's take what you guys do and let's really make it great again. Because there were, you know, the first Assassin's Creed game was revolutionary. And they haven't been since then, you know, like it's just turned into all these big open world games that all work basically
the same. It's like Call of Duty, essentially. Like Assassin's Creed is the Ubisoft Call of Duty at this point.
As is Far Cry, as is whatever, you know, like they just... It's what they do, and it's fine, but it's kind of lost its magic. Watch Dogs, that's the other one I was trying to think of a little while ago. It's fine, but and I do want to play the Legion. Watch Dogs Legion, but not that much to go play it with all this other stuff out there. You know, like it's just like they have all these games that I almost want to play. That's what they do. They make games that I almost want to play.
So here's the thing. Back on Horizon for a second, you put. And I talked about this last show. You have put a ton of hours into Horizon, and it just keeps going. And you have a long way to go on the main story quest still.
Yeah.
Long way to go. And I'm looking around going, is there something else that we need to play? And everything else that we need to play is stuff that we've already started. Like, we need to finish Red Dead.
Yeah.
We need to do, like, all of the stuff that we really need to play is stuff that we've already started. Horizon is the game right now. There's nothing from Ubisoft.
Yeah. Nothing Elden from Ring is the other thing that exists.
Yeah, Elden Ring is the that's it.
We have a plan for it. We're going to play it. We're going to play it when we get a room together. And it's really, and there's kind of, you know, we're at this moment right now where there's not a lot of games coming out. And I'm like, thank goodness, you know, like let's get caught up a little bit. But am I catching up? I'm not thinking about Ubisoft games in there.
Nope.
I wish I were more, but I just, whatever. So all that to say, if Ubi gets bought, I hope it's bought from somebody who's going to try to make their games just that much better from, I almost want to play them too. Okay. You got me. I do want to play them now. You know, like that's like even Far Cry 6. I love Far Cry, and I just haven't got the interest to play Far Cry 6. Horizon's better. I'm going to play Horizon. Ubi. By the way, Ubi has announced a new game called Project Q, which I don't know if that's the official name or if they're going to change the name, but it looks like it's the official name. That's essentially their version of Overwatch, their team-based arena shooter thing.
Oh.
And I feel like, obviously, like we've got new Overwatch coming. But, like, I feel like that moment's passed, right? Like, I know people are still playing Overwatch or whatever, but I don't feel like there's a lot of other Overwatch-type games out there. But to be fair, that's outside my world of gaming. Like, I don't care right. for those games particularly anyway. So maybe it's a big deal, but it's just another one when I was like, new Ubisoft game. I was like, oh, what's it going to be? And it was like that. That's exactly what I think Ubisoft does, is a less good version of what somebody else is doing. That's probably going to be a B game, you know?
Okay. Like it's just so. I've been waiting for the show to ask you this question. That little girl's coming. I'm watching that door.
She's out of the house, so okay. we got time.
Okay, so because I gotta ask you this question, that is not related to Ubisoft at all, but you brought it up because you said something about Overwatch. I saw the environmental trailer for Diablo 4. And what I thought to myself was, that's awesome. It looks like Path of Exile.
Yeah.
and we will play Diablo 4. But here's why I want to bring this up, and it ties into what you're just talking about. We will play Diablo 4. We'll love it. And we played the beta of Resurrection. But even Diablo at this point, like, I love that Diablo 4 looks the way that it looks, but I'm thinking to myself, I don't have time to play Diablo right now. Like, we're playing Horizon. We've got, like, four other games that we started that we need to finish that are way better than Diablo 4 or even Diablo Resurrected. I don't have time.
Yeah.
And I think the reason I am bringing this up is because I think this is an issue that the industry is going to have at some point. And it may just be for old guys like us. But if you want me to pay attention, an 80 game is not going to get it.
Yeah.
And I hate to say that, but that's what Diablo 4 is.
I think you're probably right.
Yeah.
And you and I are going to play it because we adore Diablo 2 so much. And that's the reason we played Diablo 3. And we played through Diablo 3 and it was fine, but we never went back to it, you know? And if Diablo 4 is that, whatever, you know, like that's kind of thing. But like Diablo 2 is always going to be a seminal game in our lives. Diablo 4 probably isn't going to be. They're going to get us because we're nostalgic about it. But is it going to be a big deal when it launches? For a little while, yeah, but I don't think it's probably going to have a lot of lasting power. And honestly, I don't know if that is a huge deal, because most games don't, you know? Like, most games don't leave that indelible impression on you like Diablo did from our youth or whatever. Do I hope I'm wrong about that? Of course. You know, like, yes. I hope that Diablo 4 brings back what Diablo 2 was. But part of it was Diablo 2 was revolutionary at the time for what it was, but it's not now. And trying to make it again doesn't push the boundaries, doesn't push envelopes, isn't something new. And so what made it successful 20, 25 years ago, whatever it is, isn't going to be, you know, what makes Diablo 4 successful. Like, it's got to do something different. I don't know that it can, because we're getting old. Like, we're just at that point. Like, games like that survive off of nostalgia, not off of innovation, you know? And I'm a sucker for nostalgia. The exception that I think did this well recently that we played was the Final Fantasy VII remake, right?
Yeah.
Like, it was both nostalgic and it was new and something that was fun. It's not the best game that I've ever played, but it was the best game I played that year. I love the heck out of Final Fantasy VII remake. It was phenomenal. It did that well.
I'm glad that you brought that up, because Final Fantasy VII remake is a game that we need to go back to.
Yes, we got to do the DLC for that.
We gotta do the DLC for that. That's a game that I want to go back. Like, it's sitting there, like on the list of stuff that we've already started that we need to go back to. And that's one of the, when the second part of that comes out, that's one of those that I don't care how many bills I've got. I don't care what's going on. Like, I'll give some plasma. I'll do whatever we got to do here. Take my money.
Yep.
But that, you know, and this is part of what I wanted to bring up with you. I will never forget a discussion that I had with some friends of mine when we started this show. And some friends that I went to high school with and that I used to get together every Christmas with and have a meal, and they gave us money to buy an Xbox 360. I don't know if you remember that, but these guys gave us cash to buy the Xbox 360. And when I said, why are you doing this? They said, we love you guys and we don't have time to play anymore. And we're glad that you still do. And we still have time to play. And we will always have time to play. You and I will always have time to play. But I'll tell you, I'm getting seriously more selective on what we spend our time on. And here's the other thing, and tell me if I'm wrong. If we're going to spend our time on something, I want it to be something that we spend our time on together.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not really interested. I was trying to think of the last time that I fired up anything on my PC to play a game. And it's been like 2 months because I want to play games, but I want whatever we play, I want us, that's a together thing. And I realized this the other day, and I just want to know, you feel the same way, right? Like that's, I'm getting more and more picky about what I play, and if we're going to spend time on something, I feel like we need to do it together.
Yes, 100%. And it really is. It's, you know, we've talked about it before, that idiom about when you're young, you have, you know, time and ability. When you're middle age, you have time and money and ability, or you have money and ability. And when you're old, you have money and time, right? We're solidly right there where we have money. We can buy any game we want. We're not limited by our money, and we have ability, but we just don't have the time to play everything. When we were young, we could play whatever we wanted, but we're broke. And when we're old, we're probably not gonna have the ability to play or whatever. Hopefully playing games will stick with us for a while longer. But yeah, we're solidly in that point that I've got money and I've got ability, but I just don't have the time to play everything that we want to play. And so by nature, we have to be selective. And in doing that, we're going to select things that we want to do together that are important to both of us. And it's just the nature of where we're at.
Yeah.
Not everything falls into that category, but just about, you know, like just about everything we're going to do at this point is cooperative for the purpose, not only of this show, obviously for the show, but for us too, just to enjoy playing games and get to talk about playing games and that kind of stuff.
Because I don't know that we've made this clear to you guys, and I may be speaking out of turn here, so let me know. But I don't really have anybody else in my circles that I can talk about video games with.
Oh yeah,
like the guy that was here to set up the soundbar is a guy that I know plays video games, and I've spent time with him, and I know that he enjoys video games, but he does not enjoy the video games that we enjoy. He's the Call of Duty guy. He's the, you know, whatever. And so I don't have another person in my life that I can talk about video games with. And when we were growing up, that's all everybody did.
Yeah.
And,
for sure.
And we're at that age where there's like nobody else. Do you have anybody else? Because I don't.
No, I got, you know, once a year I go hang out with the friends I grew up with, you know, going back to, you know, hometown for Christmas or something like that. And we, you know, wax on nostalgic about when we were young and played video games all the time and talk about current games too. But it's, you know, one dinner a year or something like that, that I'm talking to anybody else about playing games on a regular basis. It just doesn't exist that much anymore for us and for other people, I'm sure. But it's part of that getting older thing. It's like, and to the testament of this show, keeping me honest about playing video games, you know, that might be my, there are two things that make this show worth it every single time we do it to me. That are not like who's listening or what advertiser do we have this week or whatever like that. It is simply that it makes me continue to play games and it keeps you and I talking to each other. You know, like those are the two things that could easily just like in the busyness of everything else that we could just drop, you know, and like could fall through the cracks and we'd go, oh crap, we haven't done this in months or whatever. But no, we got to do this show. So I got to play some games. and I got to talk to Jamie. And those are good things to be able to do, you know, like right. it's a great thing. And we love talking to everybody else that listens to the show. We obviously appreciate every single one of you that's listening to the show. But on a very selfish level, like those two things are really great. And having an excuse to play video games, having an excuse to tell my wife, who somehow still goes along with it, that I really need to play this game because we're doing a show, you know, like it works still. And it's just wonderful that we have that as a rationale.
I don't know how long it's going to work.
I thought it was going to die a long time ago. Here we are. So
yeah. And it really is one of those things that I never thought, and I know you never thought when we were kids, like, yeah, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. But if it wasn't for this, and if it wasn't for you, I could very easily see myself going 6 months and not picking up a game. And I love this industry. I love playing video games. I love all of that.
Yep.
But my life and your life more so than mine, is so busy that like there's the time is just not there. And I'm thankful every day for this show because if we ever have to give up video games, and I love your daughter, and I love your wife. You have a fabulous family. You got a family to live for. I have a great family. We're greatly blessed.
Yes.
But the day that we have to give this up, somebody might as well just shoot us both.
That's fair.
Like that's it, right? I'm not overstating that, am I? Nope. Like, we love our families. But the day that we have to give this up, we might as well be done.
Yeah.
Because I the fact that I said 10 minutes ago that I haven't fired up a game on my PC in 3 months makes me cringe. Yeah. And the fact that we can still talk about it, and I'm like, okay, yeah, we're still doing stuff, that makes me feel better.
Yes. You for know? Sure. Absolutely. 100%. All that said, we do need a wrap. I do have to pay off the tease from the beginning of the show. So one more quick news story in here. Jason Momoa is in negotiations to star in the Minecraft movie. I mean, it's not the worst game that could be made a movie. But it's pretty high on the list.
You know, the only question I have about this story is how much money is that guy making to star in the Minecraft movie? And secondly, a lot. I have two questions. Secondly, how much of that money is going to Notch? That's what I want to know.
Yeah. Notch, I feel like Notch has made his money. I don't know how much
he gets. I know, but like...
He's doing all right. But this is what I'll tell you about Jason Momoa. He's not doing a Minecraft movie for the love of Minecraft.
No.
Right? Like, you are backing up a truck to get Jason Momoa to do a Minecraft movie. I mean, he might be a gamer. He may not hate the idea. Whatever. Like, there's plenty of those guys out there that are like, yeah, I was super pumped about making a video game movie because I love video. But you're paying them a boatload for that. This isn't a passion project for Jason Momoa. Right. That dude's going to make some cash off this. And, you know, Microsoft, who owns Minecraft at this point, has cash to drop off. I don't know exactly how that runs through the ledgers for Microsoft, but they're not hurting, so they're going to be fine. But yeah, the idea of a Jason Momoa Minecraft movie, just whatever. Go ahead.
Because
I was just going to do releases real quick, of which there are very few. So Lake on consoles. I'll mention that one really quick. A game that you and I thoroughly enjoyed. You can go play Lake on PlayStation 5 now. Chrono Cross remake is out, getting 75 on Metacritic. So, and then one more I'll mention just because, again, a game we love. Moss, the sequel to Moss for PlayStation VR, and I'm sure on Oculus is out there. So that's one I'll have to do at some point.
So one thing that we have to think about for this new area that we're going to be working in, and we have to get it sponsored because really what it is This is not my house. This is the Gaming Uncensored studio space. One thing that we had to figure out, and it's probably going to end up being the living room, but we have to find the VR space.
Yes.
For sure. In this area. So.
That'll be nice to have just some big open space that we can VR in, because, yeah, we definitely need to do that. VR takes such a commitment. This is the problem with VR. We've talked about this a ton. Me as a multitasker, and you watching me play games where I pause for 20 or 30 minutes at a time because I gotta go do something else. Like the other night, I know there's a big old chunk that was just paused for like an hour and it just shuts off because the little girl woke up and I had to go comfort her and then, you know, things or whatever. And then it was bedtime and the game's just sitting there. Whatever. That stuff makes VR really difficult. Like I can't just fire up VR because you have to be immersed. And so it's when we get together and we have times that we're locking ourselves in a house now that we don't have other distractions that we can just strap on a headset and go, that I'm really looking forward to some really good VR time, because VR is really fun and I just don't get to do enough of it.
What I'm excited about is that we got Apple Glass coming. The Apple Glasses are coming, and you know that means that the VR goggles are going to get smaller. And that the gloves are coming. It's going to get easier for me to play in VR, which I'm stupid excited about. I know that Duff does not think that we care about VR anymore because he's bought us like three headsets and we barely talk about it.
I know.
But we still, Duff, you're out there. I know you are. We still love VR. It's just the time thing.
Yes.
And so just hang with us, bro. We'll get you some more VR.
Yes, for sure. And hopefully during Summer Game Fest E4, whatever that looks like, some of that's going to be GU VR Fest for us. Yes. We have to make our own little GU VR Fest part of whatever we do.
Cool.
So there you go. So that's releases for this week. We did not get through all the show notes. I know, shocking. So go by GamingUncensored.com and see what we missed.
I can't believe we got through the show.
Yeah.
It's freaking amazing.
It was nice getting a little caught up on the last couple of weeks when we got cut real short. This time.
So y'all know where all the stuff is. Y'all know where the Facebook page is. Y'all know where the Twitter is. And Twitter got bought, which I'm really excited about, because that means it's going to be a massive circus.
It is a massive circus.
And so you definitely need to go by the Twitter and check that out.
Which of all the places to have massive circuses, Twitter's about the best place for it. It's going to be a train wreck, but I think it's going to be an entertaining train wreck. And like, Twitter's already a train wreck. Like, Twitter, by definition, it's not like it's this great product that is working flawlessly. It is this really ridiculous thing that we spend time on, and everybody knows that it's ridiculous, but we all still spend time on it. So why not just throw in eccentric billionaire to make it more ridiculous, and here we are.
Like,
so.
I may be the only guy out there that's applauding that he got it bought, because I want to see what the circus is. Yeah. Like, I'm like, yeah, let's do that. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's just to watch the world burn, but it's fun.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Definitely go by there, because there's lots of entertaining stuff on Twitter that we steal from other people.
Yes.
And we're totally okay with that.
Yes.
Of course, like I said, there's the Facebook page, but we tease it at the beginning of the show. If you are not a Patreon, you need to be on Patreon with us, especially in the next month and a half or so.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be a ton of Patreon content. I don't think you guys understand what me having a house means. Let me just say it real quick. Me having a house with especially my family out of town, not in the zip code, means that we'll have cables strung everywhere.
Yeah.
Means that we'll have all kinds of beverages. It means that, like, it's going to be insane. Like, if you've ever seen Animal House, kind of like that with two middle-aged guys.
Yeah, just the two of us. Yeah, and all the ridiculousness that comes along with that.
As E4 has been in previous years, this year's E4 is going to be epic.
Yes. Yeah. And who needs E3? Well, we've got
that's E4. Right. So definitely, if you're not on Patreon, right now is the time to get on Patreon, because we will spend your money. Definitely go by there. And we will make sure you're taken care of. We're actually going to take lots of little videos of the stuff that you have paid for, because you guys have paid for some of the stuff that's here.
For sure.
So you'll see lots of little videos and lots of different things going on. There's going to be lots of cool stuff. It's a great time to be a patron. So go by there, sign up. And just hang on, because it's going to be awesome.
There you go.
Other than that, is there anything else, sir?
I think we're good.
I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. We are Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gamingUncensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.